So, moving on to presentation, if I'm following my agenda properly, we're a presentation by our deans with some additional table talk. And Ken and Alan, are you ready to gather and lead that group? We're a few minutes early. Okay. You did that simply by nodding in Tammy's direction, and here she comes. And I see John Portoresi coming as well. Lisa's coming too. Lisa and John are both ending their terms as deans, and I've been grateful for their leadership in all sorts of ways through COVID, and I'm grateful for your presence here.
Good afternoon, my friends. I'm Tammy Lee, and I'm the rector at St. Paul's in Beaufort and co-dean of the Trinity Deanery. Today, we join you as a representative team from across the diocese to share with you how, together with our bishop, we've become encouragers of one another for a time such as this, where our old paradigms are indeed shifting and God stands among us, transfiguring our landscape. How are we singing a new song in a strange land? It started with what we constantly face in this part of the world, a hurricane. I believe it was Idalia. It's hard to keep track. There are usually so many. Bishop Skirving was in the last weeks of his sabbatical, and he reached out to the deans, as he would do, to assure us of his prayers and offered to return early should we need him to return early to support us as the storm came toward the state. He asked us what we thought about him coming home early. And as we communicated, it became clear that we felt like we could handle it, but what we appreciated was the opportunity to have that conversation together. And as such, it began similar kinds of conversations. The deans had been talking among ourselves about the upcoming revival. And you heard Bishop Skirving talk a little bit about the revival earlier in his address. We were beginning to discern among our communities that there wasn't the kind of enthusiasm that we had hoped, despite the good work of the revival planning team. And as Bishop Curry's illness became more front and center, people's anxiety was rising about whether he would be able to join us in person. So we reached out to Bishop Skirving with a letter saying the kinds of things that we had been talking about and sharing what we thought was our best wisdom on the topic. So God love him. He called us all together the following Monday, I think, and we had a good conversation about hard things as we faced what none of us wanted to have to face, which was this might not go as we had hoped it would go. So that began for us what we believe to be a new way of communicating. It's not that we don't communicate, it's just that we were communicating differently. We were talking with one another, discerning together about what our next most faithful steps as a diocese needed to be. And the bishop was incredibly responsive to that kind of conversation, which ultimately ended up as he shared with you this morning, with executive council and discernment around whether we would go forward or not. So both the bishops and the deans are excited about this work going forward because we know that we are going to need to do things differently. The ways that we've been doing it isn't working the way that we had always hoped it would among our deaneries. And so we're trying to figure out what is being asked of us in this time. What is our most faithful act of vocation as a people of faith? What will that look like as we work with one another, not just within our deaneries, but perhaps even across deanery lines? John Portoresi is here with me to talk a little bit about what that might look like, to see how people's passions get engaged in unexpected ways across lines. John.
I hope I live into your introduction. I think if you have been paying attention, you have heard from three different groups of people, a theme that is coming out of our time together. You heard from Stephanie that old ways of diocesan ministry where the diocese creates some programs that then parishes can participate in is not working anymore. You heard from Church of the Servant that it was the parishioners who had a passion and ideas that manifest itself in a tremendous ministry. And you also heard just now that the deans were hearing from parishioners and from parishes information that we brought back to a diocesan plan and led the diocese to a decision to change that plan. We know that the power of ministry lays in the laity. We've always known that. We know that our God is a relational God. God comes to be with us. And I think that my job today was to give an example or two of how those relationships can bring forth things that are powerful. And I want to begin by offering a frustration that I continually have with my sister. Sisters are good for that. I call my sister often and say, will you please talk to, and it's either my congregation or another group that I'm working with, and tell them the story of the work that you do down in Gainesville, Florida. She works with the Southwest Advocacy Group, and over the past 10 years, they have built a family resource center, a health clinic, and a child development center. And she has a wonderful, uplifting conversation with me where she affirms my questioning and my self-worth that ends with no conversation happening with the group that I'm asking for. Because she says every time, people call me from all over the country and ask me to explain how this happens, but there's no way that this can be replicated because no one else has Joan. Joan was a representative from a community that the University of Gainesville noticed had an incredibly low birth weight. And so some people got together and wanted to have a meeting about this community that had an incredibly low birth weight, and Joan came to the meeting and said, are you all having a meeting about my neighborhood? I'm going to come to the meeting if you're having a meeting about my neighborhood. And so dialogue started and continued until all of these ministries birth themselves from relationship. The only example that I have close by is something miraculous that happened at St. Timothy's not too long ago. St. Timothy's has been offering our space as often as possible. We are not filling our buildings, and so we readily welcome folks who are coming to do good things, and I try to go over and thank them and say, we appreciate you doing our work today. We're going to go home and we won't even be tired, and you will have accomplished our work for us. One of the groups that formed at St. Timothy's is called BRACE. BRACE stands for Building Resilience and Courage to Excel. It is a group of folks who support each other in their efforts to do just that, to build resilience, to support children with adverse childhood experiences, to help folks who have experienced trauma or who have learning challenges or who are impoverished in some way or who experience hunger. And they had a guest speaker that was coming to their monthly meeting. They had invited Mario Perez, a judge for Pitt County. He was coming to talk about trauma-informed courtrooms. And he was very excited to talk to this group because he thought that this group would be an attentive audience. And as he began to speak, he was very enthusiastic for the first 3 minutes to explain to these people all of the good things that were happening in trauma-informed courts. He explained that he had the opportunity to take parents and require them to go to parenting classes, or to take people and require them to go to budgeting classes. And then he explained that some of the problems that they faced is they couldn't require people to go to classes that cost money. They needed to have more opportunities for free things. And everyone in the room had their hands shoot up and say, we do that. We're offering that. We know how to help you. And all of a sudden, I saw a key that we handed to someone that opened a door, connect 40 people to a judge that would oversee thousands of court cases, and connect thousands of families with resources that would not have been connected. And I started to think about the ripples that this experience would have in our community. And I was overwhelmed as Mario continued to ask for people, can I have your card? What's your email address? Can I get your phone number? It was something that we never could have planned. It was something that we never could have expected. It's nothing that you can replicate. Jody was very clear that we can't necessarily go back and have a successful anti-racism program at our church. No one knows exactly what can be birthed in your congregation, and none of the deans know what ministry can happen successfully within the deanery. What we do know is that the Spirit is moving already. What we do know is that since God is relational, God is calling us into relationship and then asking us to lift our sails so that Spirit that is already moving can move us as well. We are working as deans and as diocese to figure out ways to listen, to discern. And it's hard because there are lots of us. And what's going to happen now is we're going to talk to each other. We're going to have some more questions. And frankly, we don't know what questions to ask. So if the questions that we're asking are not the right questions and you have better questions at your table, talk about those questions and see if you can get us the information that you think is better. Lisa is going to come up and lead us in that discussion. But the discussion is about how we can, in our local setting, build relationships and find out what it is that God is already about in our neighbors' houses, in our schools, and in our streets.